Ron, the first thing we want to talk to you about is the NFL getting back into business. It seems to be a foregone conclusion, or it seemed to be, until all of a sudden we see Logan Mankins and Vincent Jackson and most notably Peyton Manning apparently wanting to exercise what they think is their right to become a free agent. What's happening here, and is this going to hold up the process? How important is this?
Well, I think, you know, you have a problem now because one of the things is that the union, when this all started for strategy purposes, decertified. So that kind of throws the whole ball of wax out the window. And, you know, there's really no precedent labor law-wise for something like this happening. And I think what players are going to do, they're going to use any leverage they can use, and this being uncertainty, to try to wiggle out of a contract or get more money from the owners. And I think one of the things is there was almost an unwritten agreement between the clubs and the Players Association that, you know, once you ironed out all the differences, or at least most of them, obviously they're not going to have this whole agreement done, you know, typed up and signed by Thursday or Friday or whenever they're talking about. It's going to be a gentleman's agreement. I remember last time when they ratified the CBA, we didn't get the new provisions until almost a year afterwards. But what's happening now, some players are saying, hey, this is my one opportunity maybe to have a little leverage and see what I can do. If I'm the owner's side, I'm probably pretty ticked. I'm sure they're bringing DeMaurice Smith in on the carpet. But once again, you know, Peyton Manning especially, he's a guy, it's a high-profile guy in the union, a high-profile player. And you're wondering maybe if he's going to maybe drive the bus a little bit in this one and see what he can do.
What exactly is he trying to do? I'm not sure I'm clear on where he sees he can become a free agent, and I guess he's trying to avoid being franchised for a third time.
Well, I guess you can make the argument, and this is more of a contract law point of view, is that when there was a lockout, looking at the standard language of the contract, whether or not that made that contract null and void. In other words, even though he would have future years at future prices, does now the fact that there was a lockout that then basically the employer fired him, that would be the argument I would make if I'm, you know, his legal counsel, and so thus he's allowed to go out in the street. Now, if I'm management, I'm like, no, it wasn't. You weren't fired. You were just locked out. And so it's basically your contract was told. You weren't paid during that period of time, and now it'll just pick up again once we have a new CBA. And, you know, for that to go to court, it would take freaking years. So you know there's going to be some, there has to be some sort of resolution. But now if I'm the owners, am I like, look, if we give you this, it's going to, you know, 50 million people, or not 50 million, but 150 NFL guys are going to try the same thing. They're going to try to do what Peyton Manning. He'd be the seventh round pick who's outplayed his contract after 2 years. So maybe now then the union will go, well, if you don't want this problem, you want us to get Peyton in line, then you're going to have to give us a little bit more on the retirement benefits, or maybe on the franchise thing, or, you know, one of the things that the union, and Josh, you probably know this too, is one of the things the union is fighting is they don't really necessarily want this right of first refusal. You know, remember that the teams wanted to say, give us 72 hours to sign our own UFAs, our unrestricted free agents, and then also give us the right, then if the guy goes out and signs with somebody else, we have the right of first refusal. Well, so far, the Players Association doesn't want to give that right. The owners have been pushing for it. Now maybe the players say, hey, you want us to get Manning in line and the others? Drop that demand. We're not going to do it.
And now, is there anything, have you heard there's going to be anything where maybe Goodell is going to take some of the fines off, out of his opinion? Is there going to be a board? Is there anything they're trying to do? Or is this has nothing to do with that? It's going to be just another day to discuss maybe a panel as opposed to Goodell making decisions on fines and things of that nature?
Well, I think one of the things that, you know, and I've done these things before, it's very arbitrary. I mean, you have somebody from the NFL management. They watch the film of the supposed incident, whether it's a chop block or a late hit. You're on the phone. You're with the NFLPA legal counsel, who usually, sad to say, is unprepared, and you're on with your player, and it's either Jackie Slater or different guys over the years, and they're basically saying, yeah, I'm watching a film, okay, all right, why did you do that? The player's like, well, I didn't mean to do it, or I tripped, and blah, 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 and then they make the decision. And, you know, some of these fines are $10,000, $15,000. Big change to anybody, but for some of these players, it's not that big, and they would usually lower them down to, you know, a third or a half. But some of these guys not getting banged, James Harrison, $100,000 and stuff like that. The rumor I hear is they're going to have some sort of panel, and it's going to be made up of retired players and also NFL personnel, management personnel. I think that's the best way to do it. So,
let me ask you, how crazy is this going to be when the smoke clears? And let's just say, okay, coaches
nuts.
Could talk to players, agents could
it's
talk to teams.
Yeah, I mean, it's freaking nuts. I was telling Joe that earlier. First of all, we don't have any guidance yet what's going on. We have none as an agent. But technically, we're not agents because we've all been the unions be decertified. So all the agency thing is now just anybody could be a agent. And I said to Joe, what happens if you decided you wanted to become an agent and you've talked to your player friend who forgets to fire his other agent? So now you're a UFA, your cousin Joey, you call the Ravens, say, by the way, I'm representing Joe Blow. They don't know if you're telling the truth or not, and they don't know if they really want you as a player. They know they got to pull the button. So you could be negotiating with somebody, if you're on the team side, that has no juice at all to do the contract or even to represent the guy. Now you call the player, and then the player's like, well, why would you even listen to a guy that I didn't – you know, you're going to make people get ticked. There's going to be a lot of discrepancy. There's going to be a lot of rumors floating around. You know how that puffery is. Oh, sure. I got $80 million from my place kicker – you know, stuff like that. And the problem is we have no guidance. And if they're going to start all this on Friday, the rumor is they're going to do the unrestricted draft guys, the guys who weren't drafted, the free agent, the street free agent guys. They're going to do them in the first 48 hours, or first 72 hours. And during that 72 hours, they're going to be able to sign their own unrestricted guys, guys who are up. And then after the 72 hours, then it's become free agency. There's no guidance for agents. And right now, anybody can represent anyone at any price. You could charge 30% if you wanted to represent a guy.
I can go to Ike Taylor, give him a box of Yoo-Hoo and T-shirts and say, dude, there's more where this came from, and
exactly.
Let me be your agent. He said he could literally say okay, and I can get him a deal.
That's exactly correct. There's no rules and regulations anymore.
Could even Kregers, our producer, become an agent in this situation?
He could, which is, and Joe, even you, which is unbelievable, but you could become an agent. Actually, you'd be a pretty good agent, Joe.
We're talking.
It's just got to work on the hairdo a little bit. But besides that, it's you know, the problem you're going to have is, Josh, and not to interrupt, but you know, all the things we were always taught as agents, you can't give value to people for them to sign with you. You can do now.
Yeah. Yeah, no, there's no doubt. You're absolutely right. So when MC Hammer shows up in a limousine 15 years ago with Holyfield trying to get kids, they can now put on a show and give guys and tell guys this, that. And it's going to be actually uglier than it's ever been.
Yes, and it's already happening. There's been a lot of movement, even though it hasn't been tracked by the NFLPA. Supposedly, it hasn't been. There's already been a lot of movement in the offseason between the agents and players.
We're talking to a real agent, Ron Del Duca, from Pittsburgh, represents a bunch of different NFL guys, has represented Boris Becker, has represented Robert Lang. You were telling me earlier, Ron, that there could be as many as 400 unrestricted free agents. You're hearing that maybe rosters will start out at 90 players. Taxi squads might be increased. Can you expound on some of that?
I think one of the things is that what you hear is there's going to have to be a 90-man roster because they're worried about that this short period of time window, they're not going to have enough bodies in camp. And, you know, some of these guys are going to come out 100 pounds overweight. And if you're a low-level guy, you're a street agent that's going to be signed, or you're a guy that was a practice squad guy last sixth or seventh rounder, you're really going to be hard-pressed to make a club now, because if I'm a club, I'm going to keep that veteran guy. I'm going to keep the guy that might have been a 9th, 10th, 11th year guy who knows the system, who I know knows how to prepare for the week of practice and the
Randall
game,
L.
Because I just don't have the learning curve anymore.
Mm-hmm. Well, we got about 2 minutes here, Ron. Let me switch over to the Rashard Mendenhall situation. He's going to sue Champion or the company that Champion, their parent company, whatever. If you're his agent, do you think you have a case here? Because it's hard for me to look at that and think that the company wouldn't have the right just to say, hey, if you say anything or do anything that we don't like, we can just pull this deal.
Well, you know, that's kind of like the standard endorsement issue that always comes up. And I used to do a lot of tennis players and even stuff for different hockey guys over the years and football guys. You know, those agreements, it depends how they're drafted. And they can either be very general, player does something that offends society and we can terminate the deal. When I was always representing the player, my answer would always be, well, society, we're in Antarctica, in Europe, in the United States, offends. People start weeping. People are just ticked off. People think it's just bad. I mean, it's so general. Well, if I'm the company and I have that discrepancy, I can almost make anything offensive to society. So if I'm representing a player, I'm putting some language in there that says the best case scenario is he has to commit some sort of felony crime that involves moral turpitude like a robbery or murder or something like that, assault, and that he's convicted after all appeals. That makes it very specific. In this case, it's probably in between. They probably had a termination right. Whether or not the language is very general, which helps the company, or it's very specific, which says moral turpitude, they wouldn't have filed a lawsuit if it was clear-cut, that's for sure, unless it's clear-cut in their favor. And some of these agreements, they're poorly drafted by both the player's attorney or the company, and they don't have either.